Ever since my grandma went to be with the Lord this year, I've been thinking a lot about her spiritual legacy. It's nothing flashy, you know. She wasn't a street corner evangelist. I don't think that she ever went on a mission trip in her life. She just, day after day, sought to walk with the Lord and to live in a way that lined up with his character and who he is. For my ordination, she gave me some money to get something, and I thought, okay, I'm going to put this towards something that's big and memorable. And so I got this, it's actually 5 volumes of exegetical dictionary of the New Testament. So I was saying to Barb and Dawn, if you want to do some light reading at bed or need help falling asleep, I'll hook you up. But I had my grandma write in the front of it because I wanted to be able to remember this is from her. And at the bottom of it, she writes, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That's her life, right? In all that she did, she acknowledged him, and the Lord made her path straight. She has certainly left a legacy for us to follow. And it strikes me as really neat that if it's not just her, but that faith that I saw in my grandma came into my mom, and then that passed into me and my family. There's this 3 generations of faith that I see in our family. And that has made me think a lot about another 3 generation family of faith that we see in the Bible. And it's Timothy's family that we hear about in Paul's 2nd letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and which I am now convinced resides in you." Paul says to Timothy, look, I know that your grandma had a sincere, literally the word is like unhypocritical faith. I know that your grandma had this sincere, genuine faith. I know that your mom has this sincere, genuine faith. Timothy, I see now that you too have this sincere and genuine faith. And I think that that Timothy's family gives us a neat opportunity on Mother's Day here to talk about how we can pass that sort of sincere, genuine faith along in our own families and circumstances. How many of you know the name John Stott? John Stott was one of the greatest evangelical thinkers of the 20th century. Formative to a lot of the people who are leading the church today. He wrote, "The most formative influence on each of us has been our parentage and our home. Hence, good biographies never begin with their subject, but with their parents, and probably their grandparents too. True, no man can inherit his parents' faith in the way he inherits facets of their personality, but a child can be led to faith by his parents' teaching, example, and prayers." I think John Stott is onto something there. That I think he's onto something, and I want to use those 3 ideas, teaching, example, and prayer, to think with you this morning about how we build a spiritual legacy, how we build into our families the way that Lois and then Eunice built into Timothy. So turn with me to 2 Timothy. I would encourage you to have that just open in front of you. We're going to focus just on 2 Timothy 1:5 and then 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. Helpful to have that in front of you. And then we'll think together about how we build this legacy of faith in our situations, whatever they're like. So you've heard it already, 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul is writing to his young protege, Timothy, and he says, verse 5, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded lives in you." We know from Acts 16 that Timothy and his family lived in a place called Lystra. That is in present-day Turkey. We also know that Timothy had a Greek father, a pagan father, but his mother was Jewish, and his grandmother was as well. It would appear that Lois and Eunice, mom and grandma, had faith in the promises of God. They read the Old Testament, they were taught the Old Testament, and they knew these promises that God had made about a coming Messiah. When they heard about Jesus, they realized this is the Messiah that God has promised, and they put their faith in him. Then, apparently, they instilled that same faith into Timothy. How did they do that? Well, teaching, I think, was a part of it. Flip over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, 14, Paul writes there, Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. How many of you have memories of learning the Bible from your mom or your grandmother? I certainly do. You know, I remember very clearly my grandma Gladstone tucking us in at a sleepover at her house. I think she read something from the book of Daniel to us and then said something like, okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. She was just trying to get me to go to sleep, I think. It's cute, right? But this is it, right? Many of us have this experience of grandma or mom introducing us to the Bible. And it was no different for Timothy. You know, Paul says to him, since you were a child, you knew the Scriptures. Yeah, who do you think it was that introduced him to those Scriptures? It wasn't Dad, right? Dad was off at the Colosseum, probably, well, not the Colosseum. Dad was more interested in wrestling, I'm sure. It wasn't the synagogues. It wasn't until about 5 years old that people started to learn in the synagogue. It was mom and grandma. It was mom and grandma teaching him the Holy Scriptures. And it's neat to think that those Holy Scriptures that are able to make him wise for salvation, you know what they are? The Old Testament, right? So they're teaching them about the promised Messiah, about Abraham and David, and that's shaping Timothy into who he is. I think it's really neat to realize that as Paul is writing to Timothy, as Timothy is reading something from Paul, he's got the original New Testament in his hands, right? He's learned the Old Testament. Now he's got a very first copy of the New Testament, or at least one book of it. It's important for us to teach our children, to instill in them a sense of what the Bible teaches, a love for the Bible, a love for the God that the Bible reveals. We do, whether we are aware of it or not, teach our kids a lot of things, right? Like how many of you have ever said, don't make a face like that or it'll freeze in that position? Or don't sit too close to the TV or you'll hurt your eyes. If you don't clean up your plate, you're not getting any dessert. Clearly, I cleaned up my plate a lot. Be careful or you're putting your eye out, right? These are things that we teach. But, you know, those are kind of funny. But, like, what about this? Constantly worrying is normal. Gossip and slander are harmless. Your job is more important than your church or your family. Right? We can teach these things without even intending to. So let's be intentional about teaching people about the love of God, teaching our children about the love of God that we see in Jesus. As we're doing that, we need to point to Jesus, tell the stories of Jesus. But not only that, to tell the, and not only that, but the way that the other stories, the Davids and the Abrahams, point to and anticipate Jesus. We don't want to just make little ethical Christians. We want, like Paul does in the book of Romans, to have people know how greatly they are loved by God and then respond in their behavior that is honorable to God. How do we do that? Deuteronomy 6, I think, is helpful. A verse that I'm sure Lois and Eunice would have known. Deuteronomy 6, 7, God says to Moses at that point, right, impress these things upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you get up, when you lie down. You know what? Maybe you want to have a time where you sit and specifically read a Bible book together or something. I think this verse from Deuteronomy is even more organic, right? When you're traveling, take an opportunity to talk to your kids. When they have questions, reflect with them about how God fits into this. When you're at the zoo, talk about the creativity of God. When you're dealing with older kids, when you're interacting with your older kids, right? Giving them insight, your insight into what might be happening. Don't just give them your opinion, right? Reflect with them, pray with them on what it is that God might be teaching in this experience or leading. So to build a spiritual legacy, teach your family the love of God as revealed in the Bible. So teach it, but also live it out, right? They say that this generation is really good at sniffing out hypocrisy and insincerity. We need to live out what it is that we say that we believe, right? Not just do as I say, not as I do, but do as I do, because I want to live out what I say. That comes through in 3:14. Again, 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul says, you, Timothy, keep up with what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those people who have taught it to you. I remember in university having a professor for a communication class. It was pretty clear that he was just putting in time. You know, he kind of taught the basics without any real urgency or excitement. To be honest, he spent most of the time flirting with the girls in the class. I really had to make an effort to pay attention to him and to try to separate from, okay, this guy's a jerk, but maybe he has something helpful to teach and to learn from him. One day he was sick and another of the faculty members came in to teach. And what a difference, like same material, but this guy clearly cared about what it was that he was teaching. He believed in it. You could see that he cared about all of the students and not just the pretty ones. This was a guy who clearly believed in what he was teaching, and it showed. That's what we want to do with our lives about what we tell our children we believe, right? We want people to be able to see, we want our kids to be able to see that we truly believe what it is that we are talking about. And it is worth living these things out as cultural as it is. You know, Paul says, look to your mom and your grandma, Timothy. You know what they've said, you know how they lived. Most people will say too that Paul is probably thinking of himself here, right? Timothy, look at my life. And look at the way that my life and my doctrine line up one with the next. You know us. You know the way that we have tried. Sometimes we failed, but we have tried to put our teaching into practice. Let that consistency motivate you to keep standing firm in your faith, even when people are wandering away. If we want to build a legacy of faith, then we need to demonstrate by our own lives that what Jesus has taught is good and true and worth investing time in. It takes work, right? Because you have to put others before yourself. That means responding peacefully and graciously when all you want to do is lash out. But if you do those things, you are recreating, you are reflecting the character of Jesus, who died for both you and your children, to them. The word study Bible I was looking at this week. It says here, Eunice offers inspiration to every woman tasked with nurturing her children's spiritual lives, especially if she lacks the support of a husband or her children lack the support of a fatherly presence. You know, Eunice may have had no formal religious education and little help apart from Lois, but she had two crucial advantages that we can still access today: the dynamic power of being a mother and the limitless power of a loving God. So let your life be an example of what you teach, so that your children will have reason to follow in your footsteps. So to build a spiritual legacy, we teach, we set an example, and finally we pray. Admittedly, nowhere in 2 Timothy does it say that Lois and Eunice prayed for Timothy, but I think it's reasonable to assume that they did. I mean, if they talked to Timothy about God, I'm pretty sure they would have talked with God about Timothy, right? And that's what we do with our own kids, right? We lift them up to the Lord and say, let your will be done. I think it's risky for us to say, here, God, this is what I think would be best for my child. We can do that, but God knows even better what's best for them. So if we're praying that God's will would be accomplished, we can't go wrong. I'm sure that my grandma prayed for each of her many grandchildren along those lines, all of our lives. I think it's neat. In a sense, that prayer continues. It was neat to go back and read this week. Her prayer continues in the sense that she wrote here, through your teaching of Christ, your congregation will flourish and be filled with joy. May God give you clarity and efficiency in bringing the word of God. If she said, may it be so to me, then I'm sure she said to the Lord, well, let it be so. And I'm sure, too, that my mom was praying for me a lot of time when it seemed like I was not really sure what I was doing with my life. And I'm sure that her prayer contributed to where I am now. How many of you pray for your children? If you're a kid, how many of you know that your parents are praying for you? That's probably the best thing that we can do for our kids, eh? Is to lift them to the Lord. Admittedly, we have to acknowledge that John Stott is right. You know, he says, true, no man can inherit his parents' faith. But it's also true that no parent can direct their children's journey. Our kids may wander, they may go off and do their own thing. What do? We bring them to the Lord in prayer every day, trusting, patiently, persevering in prayer, trusting that God is at work, even when it may seem like the opposite might be true. You know, this always makes me think of St. Augustine's mom, Monica. Augustine was a bit of a playboy before he became a saint. Like St. Augustine at one point, he was in North Africa. St. Augustine prayed at one point, give me chastity, but not yet. He wasn't quite ready to be all pure and holy. He decided that he was going to go off to Rome, and his mother, Monica, said, don't you dare go off to Rome. So you know what he did? He said, sure, Mom, I won't go to Rome. And then he snuck out and went to Rome. His mother prayed for him, and despite the fact that she probably prayed, God, don't let him go to Rome, God, let him go to Rome. And you know what happened there? He did not end up falling apart like she thought he would. Rather, he met St. Ambrose. And through St. Ambrose, he came to meet Jesus and grew in faith to become one of the most influential Christians of all time. Like, I think maybe Paul is the only other person who could rival Augustine's impact on the church. All from a path that seemed to be wandering. You know, our kids will probably not become St. Augustine's, but none of them are outside of Jesus' love. We just keep bringing them back. Just keep bringing them in prayer to the Lord. We build a spiritual legacy through our teaching, through our example, and through our prayer. Now, I realize that this is Mother's Day, and so there's a sense in which this is a Mother's Day sermon. But I want you to know that this message is for all of us. It's for me. It's for you. If you're a mom, it's for you. If you're a grandma, it's for you. If you're an aunt, it's for you. If you're an uncle or a dad or a neighbor or anyone who has any kind of impact on a younger person, this message is for you. I like what Brian Chappell says about this passage, and I'll close with it. Brian Chappell writes, "Think about what it would mean if we could all say to our children, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of because you know those people who taught it to you. Right? You know your pastors, you know your Sunday school teachers, you know your fathers and mothers and grandparents, you know what they have taught you, and you know that their lives match the teaching of their lips. So continue in the gospel because you know the ones that taught it to you." Fellow Christians, he says, this kind of challenge will bring continuity. This is what the church needs. Let your teaching, your example, and your prayer show just how good God is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for, Lois and Eunice and Timothy. We thank you for including them in the Bible. You know, it's striking that some of the greatest missionaries of all time will go entirely unknown. We'll have no idea who they are. And yet we know who a mom and a grandma were who shared Jesus with their children. What an impact, what an oversized impact we can have, Lord, just by teaching about you and living it out. We thank you for every person who has built into our lives, Lord, who has shown us not just that you are good, but that you are worth walking with. Lord, I pray that you would help us in our next, help us as we pass on to the next generation, the love for you and the love that you have for them. God, if there are people in the congregation who have never had, models and influences speak into their lives, I pray that you would be an encouragement even to them, just in and of yourself. And I pray that you would move us to be able to show our children, the next generation, your love and your faithfulness. Lord, hear our prayers. When we don't know what to pray for our kids, Holy Spirit, pray for us. As parents, we admit that we don't always know what's best for our kids, but you do. You know what we need before we pray. And so I pray, Lord, that you would, that you would let your good and perfect will be done. May we grow in reliance on you. May we grow as families, as we know that children and parents are mutually praying for each other. Thank you for your unfailing love, Lord, and for mothers and fathers and parents and brothers and uncles and aunts who demonstrate that love to us. May we act it too. In Jesus' name we pray.